And greetings, welcome, bienvenidos, hola, aloha, ni hao, namaste, konnichiwa, bonjour, buongiorno, so be corrupt, guten tak, jiao, weevi, va, kat, bang, half a day, jai, janendra, salam, shalom, peace, now, go vegan, peace, how, go vegan. From the left coast of the genetically mutated McNugget Pharmaceutical Vivisection Prison, Kilitary Industrial Corporation, in the cheese-covered post-constitutional bankster bankrupt corruptocracy, mockracy, criminocracy of the United States of Listeria, home of Uncle Sam Manella, where the Wall Street-backed corporate diet of death is shoved down your throat. And you're swallowing it? Ah, well, this is Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, coming to you again live today as it's a summer celebration of the grand opening of the largest vegan grocery store in the world. We are at Viva La Vegan in Rancho Cucamonga, or Rancho Cucumber Mango, as I like to say, which is 9456 Roberts Street, R-O-B-E-R-D-S, basically where Baseline meets the bike path near the 7-Eleven. Come on down today. There's a lot going on. We have vegan sushi that you can enjoy, the southern fried vegan barbecue happening out front. And then at 2 o'clock today, we are going to leave for a circus protest. Ringling Brothers is in Ontario, and that's 5 miles from this very market. So come on down, and then we'll head on over to the circus protest, okay? And you hear us in the Inland Empire on KCAA Radio, AM 1050. Worldwide video also at KCAARadio.com. And if you want the Android app, go to kcaaexpress.com. We're also on in the Bay Area now, 4 p.m. Sundays on 1450 KEST, kestradio.com, and iTunes and TalkStream Live, and a lot being developed. Well, this week, everybody's talking about it once again, a sad tragedy, a violent nation is shocked by violence. A nation that dines on violence, that wears violence, and is entertained by violence is shocked by violence. One of the witnesses of the Colorado shooting said on the Terror Vision set, it looked like hunting season. Well, really, is that what hunting season looks like? I mean, maybe we should take a look at hunting season, and also if innocent beings are just being gunned down for no reason, or you know, for the pleasure of psychotic sniping, maybe we should recognize that no one deserves that. Humans or those other than human, you're just there minding your own business, whether it's in the Century Aurora 16 movie theater or out in the forest. And some psychotic comes and blows you away. I mean, it's just not right. It's just not right. And everybody's talking about this dude, James Holmes, all surprised that he's the shooter. You know, that you would never expect someone like him to do this. I mean, there were no signs in his past, they say. In fact, he's the brightest of the brightest, scholarship recipient, graduating with honors, PhD candidate. Whenever I hear about someone who is a serial killer, somebody guilty of a heinous crime, my first thoughts are always, where is the animal abuse in his past? You remember serial killer Jeffrey Dahmer? He killed and cannibalized at least 17 people in the Milwaukee area as a child. He caught animals and tortured and killed them. He impaled the heads of dogs, cats, and frogs on sticks. The FBI and others who do research in the field of criminology have linked animal cruelty to serial killings, serial rapes, child abuse, domestic violence. Ted Bundy learned to torture animals by seeing his father do it, and then Bundy tortured and killed animals as a child, and as an adult, he was convicted of 2 murders, but suspected of 40 others. Son of Sam David Berkowitz was convicted of 13 murders and attempted murders. He had a history of abusing neighbors' dogs, including shooting one of them. The Boston Strangler, killer of 13 women. Albert DeSalvo, trapped dogs and cats as a child and shot them with arrows. And now we have James Holmes, the movie theater mass murderer, who could, who could ever expect such shocking behavior from this honors student at Westfield High School in San Diego, the PhD candidate at the University of Colorado Denver, the genius who graduated with a bachelor's degree in neuroscience from UC Riverside, right here in the Inland Empire, near where we're broadcasting today. He was called, quote, one of the nation's outstanding neuroscientists and academicians, end quote. Well, how could we ever have expected such behavior? Well, the dude is a vivisector. He's a mad scientist animal researcher. His career has been based in animal abuse. This guy, is like a vivisection superstar. Starting at an early age, during high school, he was an intern at that San Diego Institution of Higher Animal Abuse, the Salk Institute, where I remember protesting against vivisection back when I was program director. So vivisector James Holmes got his training for disrespect for life at an early age at the iconic Salk Institute. And what aspiring vivisector wouldn't want to attend a university that is really a historic landmark in animal experimentation? It is the University of California at Riverside. Nearby here again, Holmes was probably aware of the fine UC Riverside tradition of animal abuse. Proud of its work as a revealed to the world in the famous story of Britches in 1985. Britches was a monkey born in a breeding colony at UC Riverside who was removed from his mother at birth. And his eyes were sewn shut. And then he had a sonar device attached to his head in what was to be a 3-year sensory deprivation study. Well, someone on the inside was so horrified by this science, vivisection, it's fraudulent science that impedes medical progress in human and advances in human health. So anyway, somebody on the inside was so horrified by this science that word got out to PETA and the Los Angeles-based group Last Chance for Animals. And somehow, shortly thereafter, UC Riverside was paid a visit by the ALF, the Animal Liberation Front, who liberated Britches and about 500 other animals, cats, mice, rabbits, pigeons, opossums, rats. UC Riverside said the ALF caused $700,000 in damages. Video of the ALF action made it to PETA, who released the Britches story. And when you hear a story like that, a poor baby monkey taken from his mother, his eyes shown, implant in the head from animal abusers, what does that make you want to do? Well, for James Holmes, it was natural. It was, hey, that's where I want to go to school. And the fact that there are so many charges of animal welfare violations against UC Riverside, it probably sealed the deal for James Holmes. And through the Inland Empire Press Enterprise, we get some insight into vivisector Holmes' time at UC Riverside, that he toiled away the hours working in two of the school's laboratories. Holmes worked in the Department of Chemistry and the Department of Cellular Biology and Neuroscience. His resume lists his experience as a lab assistant with the objective of becoming a lab technician. Holmes perfected his disrespect for life from 2007 to 2009 at UC Riverside, working as a lab assistant engaged in microscopic work with the muscle of mice, neuromapping of the zebra finch, and building slides of hummingbird mussels. So, you know, what did you do in school today, Johnny? Oh, I ripped up some birds and rodents. Oh, that's our little genius there. You'll make us proud someday. Yeah. So a PhD in animal cruelty can be very financially rewarding. So to get his PhD in animal abuse, vivisector Holmes chose the University of Colorado at Denver and the Auschwitz Medical Campus. That's the Anschutz Medical Campus. The words look alike to me and sound alike. Probably feel alike to the animals, huh? So how does the U of Colorado attract mad scientists, vivisectors like Holmes to come to its school? Well, look at its website. Quote, animal work will take place in the vivarium of the University of Colorado, Denver, and the Denver Health Laboratory. The UCD vivarium is a state-of-the-art facility to conduct research using any type of animal. It is a locked facility with access available only to those approved for entry. There are designated areas for mouse work. Then it goes on about the housing of mice and where you can experiment on mice and et cetera. But, you know, so there's your selling point. There's your selling point that you go somewhere for your education, and the selling point is that it's a locked facility. Wow, you know, if there's nothing to hide, let us inside. That's the selling point, that you do your work in a locked facility for maniacs like vivisector Holmes to do their dirty work. Oh, and speaking of dirty work, what was James Holmes doing for money while attending UC Riverside? He was working at McDonald's. Yeah, this guy isn't just satisfied unless he's, you know, his body's surrounding him, you know, everywhere, wherever he is. So, you know, the working at McDonald's may explain Holmes' unusual behavior when he was arrested in jail. The guards said that he was just spitting everywhere. He's spitting at the door, spitting at people. You know, you can't blame the guy for trying to get the taste of McDonald's out of his mouth, you know. So, and ironically, in our society, as blind to violence as if, well, we all had our eyes sewn shut, in jail he was... for his first breakfast, he got grits and sausages, and for lunch, he had a ham sandwich. So the murderer gets murder victims on his plate, and you know that's the violence we choose not to see, huh? We see the movie house massacre, but not the slaughterhouse massacre. All of this violence, and you know, you are what you eat. There was a study done not far from here a few years back at the Apple Valley Medium Correctional Facility, a pilot vegan program. Inmates who went vegan had 90% fewer behavioral problems than the flesh-eating inmates there. And if you read the article on the website of IVU, the International Vegetarian Union, the article, The Effect of Animal Protein on Human Behavior, it points to a calcium-phosphorus imbalance and deposits on the brain caused by meat that lead to personal belligerence. Now, I know this past week, in reaction to the shooting, Mayor Bloomberg of New York urged our two political leaders to address the problem. And even a frustrated Bloomberg said, don't talk in generalities. What can we do? Well, they will never not talk in generalities, nor will they ever talk in reality. And as usual, it would be a mistake to expect leadership from misleaders. But, you know, if you're against violence, there is something that you can do today. If you're against mass killings, a massacre that will kill 1.5 million Americans this year, more than Mr. Vivisector Holmes killed, that kills 10 billion innocent animals, you can go vegan. You can go vegan right now and take the violence off your plate. That's a suggestion to you, Mayor Bloomberg, of what we can do. We can shut down every research lab and put every vivisector under psychiatric evaluation right now if we want a less violent society. We can get violence off our plates. We can get it off the college campus. And we should stop it as a form of entertainment also. Remember that comment about the hunting season? And today, after the show, we go to the circus protest and that is a spectacle based in violence. This is Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, goveganradio.com. Listener supported. We depend on you for donations so that we can buy radio airtime. I got an email from Richard Schwartz of the Jewish Vegetarians of North America. He urged me to have him on the air as soon as possible, and I'm making time for him today. He's very excited about rekindling an ancient Jewish holiday. So we'll have Richard Schwartz coming up on today's program. You can check me out on Facebook. Look for Bob Linden, Bob Linden. There's also a Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden there. And on Twitter, it is at Go Vegan Radio.
Do you know the way to eat in San Jose? A special place, no meat, dairy, fish, or eggs in San Jose. Experience Vegetarian House, 100% organic vegan restaurant, 520 East Santa Clara Street, downtown San Jose. A favorite fine dining establishment since 1994, featuring a spectacular international menu embracing the cuisines of China, India, Thailand, Vietnam, the Middle East, Europe, and the Americas. Appetizers, soups, salads, entrees, and desserts that you simply must experience. Enjoy freshly squeezed organic fruit and vegetable juices. Committed to your fine dining experience, your health, compassion for animals, and the environment, Vegetarian House is powered by rooftop solar panels. Waste is composted or recycled when possible, and all to-go packaging can be composted or is biodegradable. The cuisine at Vegetarian House is GMO-free and organic. See the menu at vegetarianhouse.us. Experience one of the world's best 100% vegan organic restaurants. You'll love the bakery items. Raw desserts are available, too. Have your next event catered by Vegetarian House. Whether you need power box lunches or it's a full banquet, call 408-292-3798. Vegetarian House. Now you know the way to eat in San Jose. 520 East Santa Clara Street in San Jose. VegetarianHouse.us. Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden would like to express its appreciation to Vegetarian House for its ongoing sponsorship of our radio program. To advertise your vegan and cruelty-free products, email bob@goveganradio.com. Move over dairy. Make way for creamy goodness from coconut cow. Real food, real nutrition from coconut cow. Coconut yogurt, cultured, fermented, creamed coconut meat. A treat by itself or with fresh fruit. Coconut cream, a vegan's dream for baking instead of butter. Raw coconut water, coconut milk for smoothies. Coconut kefir, mango lassi. Visit coconutcowcafe.com. Organic, gluten-free nutrition from coconut cow. No fumigated coconuts from Thailand are ever used by coconut cow. Also try coconut cow fermented sweet potatoes and sweet potatoes with mango, artisan sauerkraut, and kombucha. Available at Viva La Vegan Grocery, Rancho Cucamonga, and Grassroots Natural Market and Kitchen, South Pasadena. Shipping available. Call 626-993-5631. CoconutCowCafe.com. Your family will love the delicious, smart, and healthy meat alternatives from EcoVegan. Available at Whole Foods and Natural Foods markets in Northern and Southern California, including Viva La Vegan Grocery in Rancho Cucamonga. Try EcoVegan Zen Patties, Blissful Bits, Spicy Bits, Oriental's Joy, and Ocean's Delight. Ready to eat, heat, and serve 100% vegan, non-GMO. Visit ecovegan.com for recipes. Available in Northern and Southern California, Whole Foods, and fine markets everywhere, ecovegan.com. ecovegan.com.
San Bernardino, Loma Linda, Rialto listens to KCAA Radio.
We continue on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, GoVeganRadio.com. Also now streaming at TalkStream Live. And on KCAA and KEST and iTunes and archives at GoVeganRadio.com. If you're in Southern California and you spend more than $120 a month on your utility bill, you may be interested in going solar, getting off the grid, the nuclear coal grid. Call Thomas Cox, 805-210-4499. 805-210-4499, or email coastaltech@yahoo.com, coastaltech@yahoo.com. And if you are interested in supporting or joining the creation of the first Living Foods Garden Village, call Susan Lavendera at the Ann Wigmore Foundation, 505-552-0595. If you want to help create a vegan village, that's livingfoodsgardenvillage.com. livingfoodsgardenvillage.com. And check it out. We all want to live in a vegan world, don't we? Richard Schwartz. We have Richard Schwartz returning to the program today. Richard is president of Jewish Vegetarians of North America, known for his book, Judaism and Vegetarianism. He also has a new book out, Who Stole My Religion? Revitalizing Judaism and Applying Jewish Values to Help Heal Our Imperiled Planet. This is the book here that I'm holding up on video on KCAA. And welcome again to Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. Richard, how are you?
Oh, pretty good. Great to be on. Thanks for this opportunity.
Well, thank you very much. It's great to be with you here today. It seems like, Go Vegan Radio is here to try to help save the world. And when you ask us to help you revitalize an ancient Jewish holiday, how can I refuse, especially when it relates to compassion for animals? So you were very anxious to come on the show and share some information and thoughts with us. So what's going on, Richard?
Okay, yeah, there's something very new, very exciting. It has the possibility of being a game changer. We're trying to take a Jewish holiday that's almost over 2,000 years old. It's been dead for many years. It was initially a holiday related to sacrifices, and thankfully we don't have the sacrifices today. And because the temple was destroyed, no more sacrifices. But now we want to restore that holiday, transform it into one that's still related to animals, but to show Judaism's very powerful teachings about compassion for animals and to show how far the realities today are. As so many of your programs have shown, how terribly animals are treated on factory farms, etc. And this is very important because, as I say, Judaism has the powerful teachings, but they're being ignored to a large extent. So we want to challenge the establishment and say, let's put these values into practice. How can we have such beautiful teachings and yet so many Jews eating meat, so many barbecues, etc.? Every wedding you go to, every bar mitzvah, meat is flowing. And it's so essential, not only is it an important individual choice, but because, as you well know, there's an epidemic of disease now in the Jewish community and other communities. The world is heading, unfortunately, to a climate catastrophe. We're facing increasing food, water, and energy shortages. So we want to bring out this holiday and as a challenge to rabbis to take a stand and say, we just can't continue this way. We have to make major, major changes so we avert the disasters that the world is heading toward.
Mm-hmm. Well, and just the title of your book, Who Stole My Religion, indicates that Judaism has gone astray. People don't realize
right.
that really the first commandment is to be vegan, isn't it?
Well, right. The very first chapter of the book of Genesis, it's in Genesis chapter 1, verse 29. God's first dietary regimen was strictly vegan, no animal foods at all. And
mm-hmm. So no meat is kosher. This is all religion gone astray that we could call meat kosher.
I'm sorry, say that again?
I'm saying no meat can really be kosher. We've really gone astray in considering meat to be kosher when Genesis book 1, verse 29 says, "Behold, I have given you every plant bearing seed, every tree with fruit that has seed in it. This will be your food." And you go astray, and you have all the disease, you have the environmental devastation. So there's really no kosher meat.
Well, just a couple of points on that. Number one, not only at the beginning, that Genesis 1:29, but at the end, in effect, the ideal time that Jews yearn for, the Messianic period, that will again be vegan, according to the first chief rabbi of Free State Israel, Rabbi Abraham Isaac Cohen Cook, and he based that on a powerful prophecy of Isaiah that, among other things, in this ideal time, the wolf will dwell with the lamb, the lion will stalk the ox, and no one shall hurt nor destroy in all of God's holy mountain. And I make the case, I read it to rabbis in terms of what's kosher and the technical things here, but very important that animal-based diets and agriculture today violate at least six very, very basic Jewish ideals, teachings, values, mandates. And these are very quickly mandates to take care of our health, to treat animals with compassion, to be co-workers with God in protecting the environment, in conserving natural resources, in helping hungry people, and seeking and pursuing peace. So, as you say, we've gone astray. We have these powerful teachings, but, you know, we're not, God forbid, trying to start a new religion. We're trying to say Judaism has wonderful teachings, and all religions are based on compassion, but the question is, can we put them into practice today?
Mm-hmm. So meat really isn't kosher. Fur isn't kosher, right? You know, it's not right to wear fur. And how did religion go astray? I mean, every year so many animals suffer in sacrifice for Judaism, for Islam. I mean, it's just so it seems so ungodly that there be such animal sacrifices. How did they come to be?
Yeah, well, actually, in biblical times, that was a common mode of worship. We've evolved, but actually, the biblical sacrifices were actually a step forward in that before that they had child sacrifices, a lot of pagan, very cruel practices. So this, according to the great Jewish philosopher Maimonides, he indicated that the sacrifices were really a concession to the primitive conditions of the times, that if they tried to get beyond that, that it might have been rejected. You know, it's almost like somebody coming to the synagogue today and saying, God doesn't need our prayers so much. You know, be kind. Imagine if every person was kind to everybody else, if there was tolerance, there was harmony, there was peace, and nobody prayed to God, I think God would find that better. But to go into, you know, people are just not ready for that, unfortunately, as we know, with all the violence and injustice today. So the thing is, with the sacrifices, they were kept in one central location. A person couldn't say, you know, I think I'll make a sacrifice in my own home or backyard, in effect. So one central location with the idea of weaning the people off of these sacrifices. And, of course, the biblical prophets, like Isaiah, Jeremiah, Amos, Micah, all pointed out that God's primary concern was compassion, justice, etc. And as a matter of fact, the sacrifice could be an abomination to God if not carried out along with acts of justice and compassion. And it's a very powerful prophecy that's going to be read in all synagogues before the Holiday of Tisha B'Av that commemorates the destruction of the temples. And so on this Sabbath, they'll be reading the powerful prophecy of Isaiah, who indicates that a sacrifice can be abomination, points out your hands are full of blood, in effect. So they did have them.
So it's a primitive, abomination. And when we look at it today, of course, it looks that way because that's what it is. And also there's a particular Jewish custom that seems to remain an abomination. What is that called again? Kapara?
Kaporis. Kaporo, depending in Hebrew or whatever. Okay, yeah. By the way, I just want to point out, I hope everybody listening First of all, if you want to contact me and get more information, please contact me at president@ one word, Jewish followed by VEG.com. President at JewishBeg.com. And I can send you the press release we're hoping to send out tomorrow to really get this underway. And I hope that everybody here will contact the Jewish, contact your rabbi, if not, contact Jewish friends. We want to really get this message out there that it's time to really apply the highest of Jewish values and the highest values of every single religion. Now, I think you mentioned that kaparis, that is a ritual somewhat like the sacrifices carried out between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, so it's only a month or two away. And that involves swinging a chicken and reciting a certain saying that, in effect,
that's swinging a chicken around your head.
Around your head. Around the top of one's head. And but fortunately, by the way, there is a replacement for that, which is the use of money, which, of course, is also, you know, asking for God's compassion, and it's hard to do that when we're not being compassionate. So I have an article, and by the way, I have an article on this, and it's also in that book you mentioned, in the appendix, Who Stole My Religion. So I have 150 articles at JewishBeg, JewishBeg, again, one word, .com/Schwartz. And my entire book, Judaism and Vegetarianism, can be read freely at that website.
So the sacrifice of the chicken can easily be replaced by making a donation of money to, what is it, an organization that helps fight hunger? Is that
absolutely. What? Yep. And there's the same thing. There's a ritual related to that, and that's in the various siddurs or prayer books. So that we're working on that.
Okay, so I might again suggest, if I might be so selfish here, and we're going to take a break in a moment, Richard, but we'll continue because I know you want to talk about reestablishing the ancient Jewish holiday. We got a little off track here, but not really, because it's also fascinating. So if one wanted to, be more moral and not swing a chicken around one's head and mm-hmm. make a donation to those who fight hunger, you can make that donation to Go Vegan Radio, because this show promotes veganism, which is
right.
The key to ending world hunger. So
you
make your check
that.
Payable to Go Vegan Radio, P.O. Box 475414, San Francisco 94147, or click donate at goveganradio.com. It is obviously the religious thing to do.
Sure. Can they still get a free copy of my book if they donate a certain amount?
Yes, you know what? Donate $100. Right now, donate $100, and we have we do have a number of copies still remaining of Richard's book. So every donation of $100, I will send you a copy of Who Stole My Religion. It's really a fascinating book. We need to take a break right now, Richard. We'll continue with Richard Schwartz, who is enlisting Go Vegan Radio to help establish an ancient Jewish holiday, which now we want as dedication to compassion for animals. So we will continue on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden.
With over 200 restaurants around the globe, Loving Hut is the largest chain of independently owned vegan restaurants worldwide. The first one in North America is in Milpitas, California, at 516 Barber Lane. Stanford University students and faculty enjoy Loving Hut at 165 University Avenue in Palo Alto. There are 3 Loving Hut locations in San Francisco, 1 in Elk Grove and 1 in San Jose. For the Loving Hut near you, visit lovinghut.us. You'll find Loving Hut restaurants throughout Southern California, too. And in the Inland Empire, there's a Loving Hut in Claremont and in Upland. Many of the goodies at Viva La Vegan Grocery in Rancho Cucamonga are from the bakery at Loving Hut Upland. The people at Loving Hut are on a mission to save your health, save the animals, and save the planet from climate change and other environmental disasters caused by meat, dairy, fish, and egg consumption. Who knew that saving the planet would be so delicious? Save the planet. Eat at Loving Hut. RecipeFactory.net. Create more delicious, healthful, and affordable meals. visit recipefactory.net, where you can analyze existing recipes or create new ones, customize to use or avoid specific ingredients, meet your dietary, aesthetic, and budgetary requirements, check complete protein, inflammation, and glycemic load, create food and meal substitutes, upload your recipes, and download others. Visit recipefactory.net. Create at recipefactory.net. A grocery store that's 100% vegan, and not just that, the largest vegan grocery anywhere? It's Viva La Vegan, 9456 Roberts Street, Rancho Cucamonga. Thousands and thousands of items, everything vegan, everything cruelty-free. No animal ingredients, no animal testing. Viva La Vegan Grocery. Organic produce, fruits, vegetables, nuts, grains, seeds. And introducing Veganic. Want to go beyond organic? Coming soon to Viva La Vegan. Thousands of grocery items, some you won't see anywhere else. Fresh juice from the juicer at Viva La Vegan Grocery. Donuts, cupcakes, supplements, gluten-free. Viva La Vegan, raw foods, vegan dog food, household items, personal care, books, belts, shoes. They all come together at the largest vegan grocery anywhere. Great prices, friendly staff, thousands of items, everything vegan at Viva La Vegan. 9456 Roberts Street, R-O-B-E-R-D-S, Rancho Cucamonga, California, 909-941-4495. VivaLaVeganGrocery.com, 909-941-4495. Viva La Vegan.
KCAA Radio, Loma Linda, where no listener is ever left behind.
It's Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, GoVeganRadio.com. You can advertise your vegan and cruelty-free products and services. Email me, it's Bob at GoVeganRadio.com. Coming to you live today from Viva La Vegan, the largest vegan grocery store in the world, in Rancho Cucamonga, 9456 Roberts Street. And at 2 o'clock, we head over to the circus protest 5 miles from here at the Citizens Business Bank Arena in Ontario. So if you're listening on KCAA AM 1050 and you're in the area, head on over for the circus protest. After Ontario, the circus is here through Tuesday the 24th. Then it's the City of Animal Harm, Anaheim, the Honda Center, Friday, July 27th through Sunday, August 5th, the scene of the crime, where I've been arrested twice merely for exercising my right to free speech and using a megaphone. I have a lawsuit against the City of Anaheim, which we'll be discussing in the weeks ahead. Okay, so we're talking to Professor Richard Schwartz, and he is the president of Jewish Vegetarians of North America. And Richard got in touch with me and said, Bob, we want you to help publicize that we're trying to revitalize an ancient Jewish holiday. So who's supporting this? What's the momentum behind it? And when is it? And what's going to be part of it? What's it called, Richard, the holiday?
Okay, in effect, it's going to be called like a Rosh Hashanah Behemoth, which is a new year for animals. You know, it turns out there are four different new years in the Jewish tradition, and of course we're all familiar with Rosh Hashanah, that comes before Yom Kippur, and that's a major holiday. There's another one, Tu B'Shvat, which is like New Year for trees, and that also was dead for many years, and that was revitalized, and now it's becoming very popular, and it's sort of like a Jewish Earth Day kind of thing. So we're trying, in that tradition, we're trying to revitalize this, and thank God, you know, it's actually an idea that's less than a week old. So, and the enthusiasm I'm getting, and I've got Orthodox and Reform rabbis, all kinds of rabbis and other supporters, one person who's very strong on sustainability. So it's starting to spread, and it turns out it's the first day of the Hebrew month of Elul, which this year starts on the evening of August 18th and then until sunset at August 19th. And, you know, it's something like a project that's being developed. So as we go on, we expect more and more. But we are hoping, just as with Passover and that Tu B'Shvat, the New Year for trees, to have some kind of Seder, to have people get together and perhaps share songs about animals, quotations about animals, Divrei Torah or words of Torah about animals. You know, again, Judaism teaches that God's compassion is over all his works, of course, including animals. The book of Proverbs indicates that the righteous individual in Judaism considers the life of his animals. The greatest Jewish heroes, Moses and King David, according to the Jewish tradition, were chosen for compassion for animals. So there's a lot of powerful teachings. Judaism even teaches that if you have a pet, for example, you have, before you can sit down to your own meal, you have to make sure that the needs of your animals have been met. And in the Torah, it says you can't yoke a strong and a weak animal. You can't muzzle an animal while threshing in the field. Many, many, many teachings. So we want to bring these out.
And thou shalt not kill is probably a good teaching to remember concerning animals, too. So this is a Jewish New Year for animals.
Right.
And I see Dr. Gabriel Cousins, and you have a number of rabbis, influential rabbis who are supportive.
We're building up a list. So far we have maybe about 10 or so, but as I say, it's just getting off the ground, and we hope to continue, but it is just a little less than a month away, so that's why I'm so happy to be on this program to get things started. And just to tie in, you mentioned thou shalt not kill. It's a real translation, thou shalt not murder, because, you know, if you said thou shalt not kill, then you'd have to be a pacifist. Even if you attacked, you couldn't defend yourself and all, so thou shalt not murder, but I interpret that as thou shalt not kill unnecessarily, just for any reason. And, of course, as you well know, we certainly do not have to kill animals for food. It's just the negative health effects, the negative health effects on the environment. I call it madness and sheer insanity. With all the hunger in the world, we're feeding grain to animals. With all the thirst in the world, you need a tremendous amount of water. And as you know, more than half the U.S. now is in a state of drought. So,
right, in a state of drought, you know, a vegan needs 10,000 gallons of water to grow his or her food in a year, and a flesh eater needs 320,000 gallons of water. So by being vegan, you save over 300,000 gallons of water, or 32 vegans can be fed to one meat eater.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and as I say, madness and sheer insanity, because so many areas are faced with water shortages. And, you know, I see on TV farmers that are, like, desperate. Their corn crop is being destroyed almost, and they're praying for rain. And it's coming in some areas in buckets, and in other areas we have droughts. And this is why I say it, but more important, the experts are saying it. We're heading toward a climate catastrophe. We've got to do everything possible. And as you well know, one of the main contributors to climate change is the animal-based diets, all the methane belched by the animals, etc., or the manure, and we're destroying tropical rainforests, burning them down, and that gives us CO2. Mm-hmm. And as I think you mentioned.
Yeah, yeah. So, getting back to the Jewish New Year for animals, and what is it called again? It's Rosh Hashanah. What does it say
okay.
again?
It's Rosh Hashanah La Behemot. So the word Behemot means animals. So, and so La Behemot is like for the animals. And even that, to tell you the truth, we're sort of wrestling with exactly the best terminology. I have an expert going back to the Mishnah or the Talmud to see the words they use there. So it's really in process, but
About having a Seder, like a Passover Seder, and of course that day everybody would be urged to eat vegan.
Oh, of course.
The way the Bible says to eat.
Yep, the vegan Seder, would be strictly vegetarian, preferably vegan. And again, there's so much in the Jewish tradition, you know, to bring out what Judaism teaches and to say, how do we apply it? And the fate of humanity really depends on this, as you know, because we hear the reports every day of droughts, heat waves, unbelievable floods in some areas. Mm-hmm. And, of course, as you know, the glaciers are melting, the polar ice caps are melting.
I know. I wanted to get to an update on the people who gave us the World Watch Institute report on climate change, hopefully in just a few minutes. I promised it last week. I hope I don't break my promise here. So, Richard, tell us how people can get involved with the holiday again. And I see we have some friends who have arrived here at the store, Viva La Vegan. We're going to a circus protest at 2 o'clock, so they're here now, and we'll be heading over to the Citizens Business Bank Arena. Richard, tell us how people can become involved with the new ancient Jewish holiday for animals.
Right. We're working on setting up a website, but that's in process. So for the time being, the best thing is if they contact me at president@jewish.veg.com. And then I'll be happy to send out our press release about this. And if you stay tuned, and I hope to get the word out more and more, I'm going to be sending a press release to the media. And already there's a lot of excitement thinking things are happening because we have to challenge the Jewish establishment and as a beginning, and hopefully that will reach out to other religions that are all based on compassion. And it's God's world, our world, that's being threatened so much. So it's not 50 years from now, 100 years from now. It's right now. We have to start every day. And I hope every person listening to this will go to their rabbi, minister, priest, imam, will write letters to editors and point out that this is our future. If we want a decent world for our children and grandchildren,
we have to go vegan.
A vegan world and do many other things to avert the coming catastrophes and move our precious planet to a sustainable path.
Thank you so much, Dr. Richard Schwartz, for being on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. Again, his latest book is Who Stole My Religion? And you make a donation of $100 or more. Click donate at goveganradio.com, and I will send you a copy of the book from Dr. Schwartz. Thanks for being with us today, Richard. Again, if you're in the Inland Empire, head on over to the Citizens Business Bank Arena in Ontario. Circus protest at 2:15 today, and we'll continue on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden.
For as long as I can remember, I've been locked in this crowded, filthy cage. Constant abuse, deprivation, and suffering. Painful metal floor I can barely stand on. Day after day, month after month. This is my entire life. I thought we'd be in here forever. But then, something great happened. People began to take a stand for us. They started voting to get us out of cages entirely. The promise of a cage-free life. To no longer be trapped in a cage. But now, that promise is in danger of being broken. The egg industry is pushing federal legislation that would trade one cruel metal cage for another. And their bill could never be challenged or changed by state law or public vote. Even though most people want us out of cages. If we let the egg factories win, we'll never get out.
We'll never get out.
Keep the promise. Take action. Visit StopTheRottenEggBill.org. Fight the egg industry's plan to keep hens locked away in cages forever.
Your support of the International Fund for Africa goes to direct aid for human babies and animals in need in Africa. Compassion for all beings is exemplified by the work of the International Fund for Africa, delivering critically needed medical services from the introduction of neonatal care in Ethiopia to the Homeless Animals Project for dogs, from the Rural Health and Development Project to the Veterinary Medicine Hospital Project, and promoting veganism as the best way to help people, animals, and the environment of Africa, the International Fund for Africa is leading the way. Its dynamic president, Dr. Antenna Roba, is a Houston emergency room physician who sees the deadly health effects of the standard African-American diet of animal products, and then goes home to Africa to witness the deadly environmental effects of the standard African-American diet there, as meat and dairy-based climate change devastates the continent. The message from the International Fund for Africa is, go vegan, Africa. No GMOs, no factory farms. Find out how you can help the International Fund for Africa help people and animals in Africa. Visit ifundafrica.org. Stop starvation. Save the environment. Visit ifundafrica.org. It's time for everyone in your family to go vegan. Dogs, too. Introducing the new formula from V-Dog, 100% vegan, packing protein at 24%, loaded with superfoods. No wheat, corn, soy, gluten, or GMOs. 2 years in development, the new V-Dog formula gives your dog the healthy balance of essential amino acids, vitamins, and minerals he or she needs to thrive. Pow-woofily plant-based, V-Dog meets or exceeds all AAFCO adult dog food nutritional standards and is veterinarian approved. The human-grade hypoallergenic V-Dog formula of super grains, veggies, and fruits is an easily digestible meal for even the most sensitive dogs. And if you're sensitive about the environment, vegan dog food helps reduce dogs' carbon paw print. Animal-based dog foods are part of wasteful and cruel animal agriculture. Be kind to animals. Buy V-Dog. Since 2005, from a family company of vegan dog lovers. Order V-Dog online at v-dogfood.com or call 888-280-8364. Also available at select retail locations, including Viva La Vegan Grocery, Rancho Cucamonga, California. Thousands of items, everything vegan. Viva La Vegan.
Speaking of everything, this is AM 1050 KCAA.
It's Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. We just have a few minutes left on our Southern California station, and then we'll have another 5 minutes left on KEST in San Francisco. Oh, I promised to talk about this last week. Can I get through it this week? Well, I mean, over the years on this program, I've referred to very important work by Robert Goodland and Jeff Anhang of the World Watch Institute, who examined the 2006 UN Food and Agriculture Organization report, Livestock's Long Shadow, estimating so-called livestock's contribution to climate change at 18% of all greenhouse gas emissions, a figure that in itself represents higher emissions than all forms of transportation combined, cars, trucks, boats, planes. But instead of 18%, the World Watch Institute study blamed livestock for 51% of all greenhouse gas emissions, which would mean not just more than all transportation combined, but really more than everything else combined. Well, that World Watch Institute report is the work of environmental specialists who are also employed by UN agencies, and the headline in the July 11th New York Times read, FAO, Food and Agriculture Organization, yields to meet industry pressure on climate change, and Robert Goodland in the Times suggests that, quote, one might expect the FAO to work objectively to determine whether the true figure is closer to 18% or 51%. Instead, Frank Mitlohner, known for his claim that 18% is much too high a figure to use in the U.S., was announced last week as the chair of a new partnership between the meat industry and FAO, end quote. You get the feeling that Frank Mitlohner is, much too high a figure for that position. Continuing to quote Goodland, FAO's new partners include the International Meat Secretariat and the International Dairy Federation. It would almost be hilarious except for the fact that, you know, this all means a potential end to the world. They want to do a study of the livestock industry, measuring assessment, a necessary first step in improving the sustainability quality of this important food product sector, so says the UN partnership now. Livestock raising and the consumption of animal products make a crucial contribution to the economic and nutritional well-being of millions of people. This report is now lying, and the FAO sickos are embarking on a three-year study plan to assess the environmental performance of the livestock sector and to improve that performance. You can't do that. This is like assessing, you know, Jerry Sandusky's performance in the psychological development of young boys, you know. So they want a three-year project to establish methods and guidelines. And Goodland warns that, quote, within 5 years, greenhouse gas emissions may increase to irreversibly catastrophic levels if nothing is done to change the course. So basically, you have the compromise of the UN panel that is there to assess global warming. Why, it's like the meat industry becoming a part of the animal rights movement, which will actually be the subject of next week's show when I have Leslie Armstrong on the program. Next week we will talk about the infiltration of the animal rights movement by butchers, the egg industry, and the Humane Society of the United States, its role in being the voice for the meat industry and taking over the animal rights movement. I'm going to go to the Animal Rights Conference 2012, the first weekend in August, back near D.C., to protest that that conference. So it looks like our Southern California audience has to leave us now on KCAA, and the program will continue in the Bay Area on KEST. We're on KCAA Sundays at 1 p.m., and that's AM.
It's Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, broadcasting in the Bay Area for over a decade now, now heard on Sundays at 4 p.m. on 1450 KEST and KESTradio.com after the Commonwealth Club. We are listener-supported. You're a listener. Please support us with a tax-deductible donation. You can make your check payable to Go Vegan Radio, P.O. Box 475-414, San Francisco 94147, and as we've been on for so many years, there are hundreds of archives that you can hear for archives and podcasts. And to donate online, it's goveganradio.com. And broadcast of Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden is made possible in the Bay Area by Vegetarian House, world-class organic vegan cuisine in downtown San Jose at 520 East Santa Clara Street. Look at that menu at vegetarianhouse.us. And Vegetarian House caters. And whether you need a power box lunch or it's a full banquet, call 408-292-3798. That's 408-292-3798. We are also sponsored by Loving Hut Vegan Restaurants, with over 200 worldwide. The first one is in Milpitas at 516 Barber Lane. And for Stanford students and faculty, you have a Loving Hut at 165 University Avenue in Palo Alto. There are three Loving Hut locations in San Francisco, one in San Jose and one in Elk Grove. For the Bay Area location near you, visit lovinghut.us. Well, this coming Thursday, which is July 26th, the San Francisco Vegetarian Society invites you to Speaking Out for Healthier Food, The Truth About GMOs, with featured speakers John Robbins, best known for his bestseller Diet for a New America, The Food Revolution, many others. His latest book is No Happy Cows. Also speaking, Jeffrey Smith of the Institute for Responsible Technology, a leading spokesperson on the dangers of GMOs. He's the best-selling author of Seeds of Deception and Genetic Roulette. That's at the First Unitarian Universalist Church, 1187 Franklin Street at Geary in San Francisco. This Thursday, 6 p.m. refreshments and networking, 6:30 live music, 7 p.m. speakers. Also speaking, Myrto Ash, M.D. It's a $5 to $10 donation on a sliding scale. Suggested donation, but no one will be turned away for lack of funds. Also sponsored by Label GMOs SF and the California Right to Know ballot initiative. And please mark your calendar and plan on protesting against the cruelest show on earth, Ringling Brothers Animal Abuse Spectacle. It'll be at the Oakland Arena August 8th through the 12th, the San Jose Arena August 15th through the 19th, and Stockton Arena September 13th through the 16th. The Santa Clara County Activists for Animals presents the South Bay Area premiere of How I Became an Elephant, the story of a 14-year-old girl on a mission to save elephants that takes her on a journey to Southeast Asia. Juliet West featured in the film, and film director Cynthia Sharp will be in attendance at the screening, which is Monday, August 13th at 7 p.m. at the Blue Light Cinema 5, 21275 Stevens Creek Boulevard in Cupertino, across from De Anza College. The suggested donation is $5, but again, no one turned away for lack of funds. And for more information, call 408-355-0436. 408-355-0436. And the 13th annual San Francisco World Veg Festival is hosting the 40th International Vegetarian Union International Vegetarian Congress, October 5th through the 8th at the San Francisco County Fair Building in Golden Gate Park. For information, visit the website of the San Francisco Vegetarian Society, sfvs.org, or worldvegfestival.com, worldvegfestival.com. Well, thank you for listening. We appreciate your being here with us today. We'll be back again at 4 p.m. next Sunday on 1450 KEST. And please, love animals. Don't eat them. Don't wear them. Go vegan.